When we had President Trump, the border, it was secure. We didn't have people dying by the hundreds of thousands. Kids are getting told to stay home because they have to clear out the schools to make room for illegals. Illegals are getting $10,000 credit cards to go run up the bill. Homeless veterans are getting kicked out of housing facilities to make room. This is insane. I think honestly, Sean, what it comes down to is the fact that if they admit that there's a problem, then they admit that Joe Biden is to blame. This is the number one issue for good reason.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Sean Spicer Show. Thank you to everyone, the thousands of you that joined us last night as we went live and did analysis both here, if you're watching it on the stream or listening to the audio, and then obviously we're on the first on DirecTV. Just a side note, we are going live on the State of the Union night, Thursday night, about 8:45 p.m. You can watch it with us. I'll do introductions, break down some analysis, and then we'll watch the speech together. I'll get to see your comments as they come in. We'll watch the Katie Britt response, the senator from Alabama that's giving the response. So that's going to be great. Watch it here on the channel with us. Subscribe now to make sure you get it. But we'll literally be going live here if you want to watch it. Obviously, and the other thing is, on Friday, as Donald Trump had a big night, we're going to talk to longtime confident Roger Stone on the show Friday. Great conversation. If you have ideas you want me to break down with Roger, please make sure you shoot them through the website, SeanSpicer.com, or join the show's VIP, SeanSpicerShow.com/VIP. All right, Kat Kamick is going to join us, Florida Congresswoman, in just a little bit to break down everything that's going on the Hill. But let's talk about last night for a little bit. Huge night for Donald Trump, swept everything but Vermont. Vermont, and barely lost Vermont to Nikki Haley. That was the one state that she got. Let's take a quick listen to Donald Trump last night at Mar-a-Lago.
I have been saying lately, success will bring unity to our country, and it happened before. We had the best economy our country's ever had, and people were calling me that I would have said, will never happen. It'll never happen. They wanted to get together African-American, Asian-American, Hispanic-American, women, men, people with diplomas from the best schools in the world, and people that didn't graduate from high school. Every single group was doing better than ever before. And it was a beautiful thing. Our country was coming together.
All right. And then, as I mentioned, Nikki Haley this morning around 10 o'clock called it kaputz in a quick farewell speech. No questions. I want to play you a little of what she said on the way out, because she did not endorse Donald Trump. She made it clear that he has to earn that vote. Take a listen.
It's now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him. And I hope he does that. At its best, politics is about bringing people into your cause, not turning them away. And our conservative cause badly needs more people. This is now his time for choosing.
All right. Look, let's just be honest. Nikki Haley saying that she was getting out today is like yelling, I quit, right after you're told you're fired. I mean, does it really matter? Donald Trump has enough delegates after next week that he officially is the nominee. He's just at about 1,000 right now, 1,215. She's not even at 100. This race was over. The general election started last night. We talked about this a lot on the live stream. And the other thing is, for all these people in the media that keep talking about, like, can he make this difference up? Can he get her voters? Let's talk about her voters. When they asked in exit polls last night in Virginia, more independents supported her than Republicans. She had 25% of her support from Democrats in Virginia. This is how it's been for her. The idea that these people were ever going to vote for Donald Trump or even her in a general election is nuts. When asked among 2020 voters, if they were still with Donald Trump, 97% said yes. When asked the same question of 2020 voters of Joe Biden, only 85% said yes. He's the one with the problem, not Donald Trump. But that's what the media wants to talk to you about. And I need you to understand this, because this show is going to continue to break down things in ways that you can explain to your friends and coworkers, because the media is doing everything they can. They're freaked out that he is going to be back in the White House. They don't like him because he doesn't go to their parties. He doesn't call them up and invite them for little roundtables. He mocks them. calls them out. They don't like that. I know they don't like it personally. So understand that. Yes, he is on his way to going back. And all of the polls show him beating Joe Biden in the battleground states. I will say this last night about his speech real quick before we get into a couple of the other issues. His speech last night was reminiscent of what he did in Iowa. He got out. He didn't mention Nikki Haley's name. He talked about the choice that exists in November. For the first time in 100 years, it's president versus president. We have a record. It's not a bunch of hypotheticals. It's not, here's what I promise you. It's, here's what I did. And here's what Joe Biden's record is. I mean, think about it. He touched on the choice that we have when it comes to energy independence, securing our border, low unemployment, interest rates, inflation. Contrast that all with Biden the next time you talk to one of your friends and say, huh, that's what we're talking about. Talk about what's happening overseas. Russia wasn't attacking people, annexing land during the 4 years of Trump. Hamas wasn't firing rockets into and taking hostages out of Israel. China wasn't being provocative. They were scared of Donald Trump. That's the difference. We had peace overseas and we had great times here at home. We were energy secure. Inflation was low. Interest rates were low. Gas prices were low. Everything changed when Joe Biden came in office. They don't want to talk about that. We need to. So I want to have a conversation now with Kat Kamick. There's a lot to get into, especially on the issue of immigration. Some big news coming out of Capitol Hill with respect to how we're going to address TikTok. And I want to get her thoughts about how Republicans are going to frame the conversation around the State of the Union Thursday night. Again, subscribe now because we will be live from about 8:45 when the guests start arriving, the Supreme Court, the other guests that he has from the cabinet, et cetera. We'll break it all down for you here, and then we'll literally do color commentary as he's giving the speech. But before we get to Congresswoman Kat Kamick from Florida, I do want to tell you about two of the great sponsors that we have that make this show possible for me and keep it free for all of you. So let's hear from them. In a time of emergency or crisis, are you going to be ready? I know I am because I have a Patriot Power Generator 2000X in my house. That means when crisis hits, I can power everything from a refrigerator to tablets to medical devices to make sure that me and my family and my loved ones are taken care of. And if you go to 4patriots.com/Spicer, you can be ready too. As I said, you can power your refrigerator. You can bring the Patriot Power Generator 2000X into your house. No dangerous fumes, no noise. The beautiful thing about it is that it's powered off solar panels that come free with it. You just put the solar panels out, the sun regenerates the Patriot Power Generator 2000X, and there you go. No gas to bring in, no fumes to deal with. The Patriot Power Generator takes care of you and all of your needs. So if you're out of power for hours, days, weeks, even months, you and your family will be protected during a time of crisis. Don't wait for that time to happen. Get ahead of the curve like I did. Get a Patriot Power Generator and the free solar panel that comes with it by going to 4patriots.com/Spicer so that you will be ready to take care of you and your family when a crisis occurs. All right, folks, during these uncertain times, if you're looking to secure your financial future, call my friends at Bishop Gold. Call 844-984-1616 or go to bishopgoldgroup.com/Sean. I did it. This is where you want to add precious metals to your investment strategy. So if you have an old 401k, an IRA, or just want to enhance and expand your investments, precious metals is the way to go. I called them. I had a discussion with them about my needs, where I was, what my long-term goals were, and they put a plan together for me. Now, you can keep the metals. They can keep them for you. They'll tell you how to liquidate them if you want to do that at some point down the road. But the bottom line is this. These are the people that I trust. I know there's a ton of commercials out there about precious metals and getting involved in gold and silver. Bishop Golds are the people that I talk to, that I trust for my own investments. I know them. I trust them. They've got the experience. They live by integrity. Call them at 1-844-984-1616 or go to bishopgoldgroup.com/Sean to begin your journey with financial metals and get a free gift if you do that. So go to bishopgoldgroup.com/Sean to talk to my friends at Bishop Gold Group. Congresswoman, thanks for joining us today. Just real quick, before we get into the policy stuff, the juicy stuff, the congressional stuff, What are your thoughts about last night and then obviously this morning? Where are we headed?
Well, in the words of one of our favorites, it was a huge night for President Donald Trump. And I think that this really solidifies the race. And thank goodness that now we have such a long lead up into the general. I think this has got the Biden campaign shaking in their socks or boots or slippers or whatever it is that they're wearing over now these days. But I am very excited about the fact that we can start moving ahead, moving forward. Then we spend that money, that time, that effort, really focusing on where we should have been all along rather than fighting amongst ourselves. So big win, resounding win. I think that this is a good sign for us as we move ahead, but we've just got to stay focused on the issues.
Yeah. You know, it's a big day for Trump when Mitch McConnell endorses president. I mean, so this is a big 24-hour period. The next big thing on the docket, I mean, I know we'll get into policy in a second, but is the State of the Union. Let me just ask you this. What is the expectation from Republicans? I believe that Biden is going to try to make it seem like he hasn't been in office for 3 years and be like, I want to extend an olive branch to my friends on the other side of the aisle. Are you guys talking at all about how to respond?
Yeah, of course. Well, and you know, I actually have to go back just one quick step, Sean. You know, the American Samoa race, were you tracking that last night?
Yes, Mr. What's his, I talked about it earlier. Yeah. Dude, how embarrassing is that?
For folks watching, Joe Biden lost to a completely unknown middle-aged white man who does not look like he was born and raised in the American Samoa territories. But who knows? This is a unique situation. So I thought that was actually one of the good highlights from yesterday. But
oh, yeah. I mean, the dude lives in Maryland and he beat him in the American Samoa. He took four delegates. I get a kick out of this. And the worst part about this is your Democratic colleague, Dean Phillips of Minnesota, who was actually on the ballot running against him, lost to a dude from Maryland that just put himself on the ballot in American Samoa, and he gets delegates. All these other people who ran against Biden, like in a serious way, Marianne Phillips, Dean Phillips, Marianne Williamson, Dean Phillips, literally are sitting back going, who is this guy?
I think Dean Phillips actually put out a tweet that was pretty funny. And he just said, congratulations to the uncommitted and Joe Biden and all these
and
other
Nikki Haley.
Oh, man. Well, talk about disarray, Democrats in disarray, but got to have some fun with it. Turning to the State of the Union, you know, obviously, come on. We've done this for quite a while and our expectations are as low can be. And I have said this repeatedly. You and I have had this conversation. I may not like the man and I may not like his policies, but I always will respect the office of the president. And so I think it's important as a member of Congress to be in the room, to be there, if nothing else, then to be a walking, talking reminder that he has half of the country that believes that he has failed, more than half of the country that feels that he has failed. And I believe that he's going to do everything he can to try to tout their so-called wins. But it's going to fall flat because there's a lot he's got to cover in a very short amount of time. And I don't know how long the juice will last in his system. So I'm hoping that I would love for him to talk about the open border crisis that they created. I would love for him to talk about the opioid epidemic where fentanyl is killing over 100,000 people every single year, which, by the way, my guest to the State of the Union is a father whose daughter, Selena, was murdered by fentanyl. And again, this was through the investigation tracked back to fentanyl that had come across the border from a border cartel. These are things that he's not going to talk about. But as we know, this is a top of mind issue for Americans in every community around the country.
So you've got this guest, Mr. Ed Bravo, I believe is his name. Is that right?
Yeah.
When you talk to him, is he coming up just like, hey, Congresswoman, I don't really care who solves the problem. I lost my daughter. I don't want anyone else to lose. Or does he blame Joe Biden?
You know, this happened just a few years ago. So it's still very raw. Right. It's still very fresh for him, his family. And when he talks about it, you can see the emotion in his face and his eyes and his voice. And the way he talks about it is, I don't ever want another family to feel this. For him, I believe that he doesn't care if it's a Republican or a Democrat who solves it, but he wants it solved. But right. He can definitively look at Joe Biden and say, this man is the reason that we have fentanyl pouring into our communities unfettered. And it's the reason that his daughter, Selena, is no longer with us. And so I think that having Mr. Bravo as a walking, talking, breathing reminder of Joe Biden's failures to protect Americans, to heck, they won't even allow the Democrats to permanently schedule fentanyl. They won't allow them to pass legislation called the Halt Fentanyl Act. That is how political they have made this issue, when in fact, it's not a political issue at all. This is impacting every community, and shame on him for ignoring that. Mr. Bravo will be in the room to remind him of his failures and make a plea. Be better than the parties. Be better than a political agenda. Do the right thing. Secure the damn border.
You know, when you mention that, like when you go to a Democrat and say, hey, this bill, this piece of legislation would halt fentanyl, like full stop, there's no, or whatever, or this is how it'll attack it. What is the reason that they give you for saying, I'm sorry, I just can't be with you on this?
You know, it's interesting because there's two sides, right? You have the public facing side. I'll never forget. We had the floor debate where for an hour we were debating the merits of the Halt Fentanyl Act. That was not controversial. It was very narrow. And it basically said, we need to curtail the flow of fentanyl into our communities and take a firm, unequivocal stance. Every single Democrat voted against it. And they gave every BS excuse under the sun.
But give me one. But just give me one. Give me one excuse. What possibly could be an excuse?
They said that it would impede medical professionals who utilize it in hospitals, which my husband's a SWAT medic. They carry fentanyl on their trucks when they respond. It's a controlled substance. They have carfentanil now. I mean, the way that the bill was written, it would not have a single impact on medical professionals. And we knew that, and they knew that. And in the back of the chamber, after they would give this fire-breathing speech as to why it was a bad idea, they would come up to me and whisper in my ear, listen, my cousin just, you know, OD'd, or I have a constituent that they're the family, they just lost their daughter or their son. This is awful. But I've heard this on so many issues, whether it was the defund police movement, whether it was border legislation, it doesn't matter. I've had Democrats whisper in my ear, you know, I'm with you 100%, but if I speak out, I'll lose my committees. They'll primary me. They'll throw millions of dollars at me. This is the, I almost said it, but I won't. This is the BS that we deal with that no one wants.
But it's not. It's bigger than BS. BS is saying, "Hey, I know that tax cut, but I policy differences over spending and taxes. I get these guys want more government. They want more spending. I get that. That is the fundamental ideological difference. Fentanyl, securing our border, sex trafficking." Knows no party. What the heck is happening when a party says, I can't be with you on this? I mean, this is just so foreign to me as a guy who's been in the game for three decades. When someone says, I can't be with you to stop fentanyl that I know is destroying a community and families throughout this country.
I think honestly, Sean, what it comes down to is the fact that if they admit that there's a problem, then they admit that Joe Biden is to blame. Because when we had President Trump, the border, it was secure. We didn't have people dying by the hundreds of thousands. And keep in mind, when you break this down, this is the equivalent of 300 passengers on a plane going down every single day. You and I both know that if we had a plane with 300 passengers crashing and burning every single day, by the end of the week, all planes would be grounded and there would be a commission to figure out what the hell is going on with the planes. But because this is an out of sight, out of mind situation, no one wants to talk about it. And the minute that the Democrats get on board with halting fentanyl, with addressing it, they have to admit what the source is. And that's the open border that Joe Biden has created.
I mean, we know from his little stunt the other day.
Yes.
That he's going to basically, my guess is they use the same lines. They say, I want to work with you. Let's address this, pass this bipartisan border bill that is the toughest in forever that gives amnesty to everyone. I'll probably leave that part out. What is the Republican response going to be when he does that? Because that's what he's going to do. And he stands there at that rostrum and you guys are all in your seats. What is the appropriate response?
You know, it's interesting. His little gimmick down at the border, it was not about securing the border. It was about securing votes.
Yes.
And again, I mean, this is all because now everyday Americans in Ohio and Vermont and Florida, they're waking up and being like, what the hell? My kids are, you know, being put to the side because now we have, you know, extra pressures on our school system. In New York, Kids are getting told to stay home because they have to clear out the schools to make room for illegals. Illegals are getting $10,000 credit cards to go run up the bill. Homeless veterans are getting kicked out of housing facilities to make room. This is insane. This is the number one issue for good reason. And so I think that they have to, they're approaching this right now. You know, they're running the drafts for his speech, trying to figure out how they can narrowly thread this with as little liability as humanly possible. They want this to be as airtight, and he wants to sound tough on the border. But keep in mind this so-called border package that was the Senate deal, right? That wasn't a border security package. That was a give more money so we can process people faster and do catch and release into the United States. And oh, by the way, a pathway to citizenship for all illegals. Oh, and by the way, let's just do straight citizenship and amnesty for the Afghans. I mean, it was literally a visa giveaway, and they labeled it with the border so that it seems like they're doing something, but they're not. Sean, this is 1984. They are using terms to control the narrative. Just like they can't define a woman, they have completely eroded that. Now they're saying newcomers, right?
Right. You're not newcomers. I love that. I'm so glad you brought that up. That to me, last week, newcomers is like when you join the condo association. They're like, okay, newcomers are having a mixer tonight in the community room. We've got mocktails and chips. Newcomers are not what you call people who illegally enter the country.
Exactly. I know. And by the way, defund the HOA always, you know, that's always, I got to get you a shirt that says defund the HOA, but that's exactly it. You know, it's like in 1984, the firemen didn't put out fires. They started fires. This is part of the gambit, and you being in like you said, 3 decades of being in politics and in the mix and in the know, and being one of the top professionals in this area. I mean, the language that is used is so critical, and they are doing everything they can to manipulate the narrative by any means necessary. And it all starts with these words: can't find a woman.
Yeah.
You call an illegal a newcomer. It's wild what we're seeing.
I mean, you go back to like Bill Clinton being like, it depends what the definition of is. And like, they kind of went like, maybe we should just do everything. I want to call your attention to something that yesterday, there's not a lot that blows my mind these days with what's going on. I mean, I watched these videos with literally, there's 28 points of entry, legal entry in Texas, where you can go claim asylum and then they process you. These guys are literally cutting wire. We've seen it now all throughout Texas. They're climbing over it, under it, through it. They're cutting it, right? That's bad enough. And that is where I was like, there's no question they're not taking this seriously. You don't need an act of Congress to tie that up, to get it re-sown, not sue Texas. But this headline yesterday, Biden administration admits flying 320,000 migrants secretly in the U.S. to reduce the number of crossings at the border. What? They're flying them in. I mean, at one point they're like, would you like Wi-Fi and a free drink on the way here? This took insanity to a level that I didn't think was possible. And yet it was like the Daily Mail and a couple other places that covered it. No outrage. The idea, think about the number. I mean, I'm from Rhode Island. We have like barely 1 million people. That's a third of the state that was flown in on planes illegally.
Sean, I am so at a loss for words about the revelation on this, because while I would love to give some fiery, cute clapback on this, I literally cannot wrap my head around the fact that I can't even call him the commander in chief. He's the trafficker in chief. That this man has authorized a full-blown invasion. I mean, this is not you came to the border and, you know, you're claiming amnesty. No, you're literally flying them from out of country into country. This is what is just so mind-blowing to me. This is treasonous. This is absolutely treasonous. And you have to ask yourself why. I feel like I'm going to be a little bit of a conspiracy theorist here, but I don't think it is one. When you go back to the last Congress, Nancy Pelosi, and Sean, you know this better than anybody, the first 10 bills in a Congress are the agenda for that Congress. When they put H.R. 1, they called it For the People. I called it For the Politicians Act. What it did was it legalized voting for non-citizens. It took the voting age down to 16. It publicly financed campaigns, made it illegal to have photo ID to vote, no signature verification. It did all sorts of crazy crap. And you compound that with, or you put that along with this open border strategy here. And clearly it's a strategy. It wouldn't be flying people over the border into the United States if this wasn't an actual strategy and a deliberate process. You compound these two things together and you're like, huh, what are they trying to do? What is the end game here?
All right, guys, longtime watchers of the show know about my friend Leo Grillo. He founded Delta Rescue. You can check out the work at deltarescue.org. Leo rescued a Doberman. He named the Doberman Delta. That stands for dedication and everlasting love to animals. That became the beginning of what is now Delta Rescue. Delta Rescue is a no-kill sanctuary that for life, not for short terms, it's not a shelter, it is a no-kill sanctuary for life. They take care of malnutrition dogs, horses, cats that need veterinary care, support. They let them roam free. And if you go to deltarescue.org, you can check out all of those facilities, the work that they do, some of the great videos that show you the interaction that they have with them and the support that they give these animals. But it doesn't happen. Leo's mission, in order to be fulfilled, these people like you and I to contribute $5, $10, $100, $1,000. If you go to deltarescue.org, you can check out the videos, but you can also donate. More to the point, if you really are an animal lover like I am and want to make this an enduring mission, check out the estate planning kit that Leo has on there and see if you can make Delta Rescue part of your life's estate. I don't know why we tiptoe around this anymore, at least some people. This is a pure 100% play to yes. get new voters. That's yeah. not, you can't fly 320,000 people in here and be like, I don't, I'm really serious about the border. Like, I just, at some point it's like, stop. And you've got people like Jake Tapper on CNN that are like, this isn't true. This isn't, and it's like, then tell me why you would do it. This one thing to let them through the southern border. You can claim that you're ignorant or stupid. You can't when you send a plane to go get them.
Well, I mean, again, we have no official effective policy when it comes to Mexico. Hell, Biden doesn't even know who we have a border with. I mean, I think he thinks we have a border with Egypt because he was talking about President Sisi. I mean, this is just embarrassing. It's embarrassing, but it's dangerous.
Yeah.
And we know that right now, for the ones that aren't being flown in, you have Chinese nationals to the tune of 22,000 in a single month that are being basically escorted through the southwest border. And I have to ask people, do you think it's easy to get out of mainland China? Do you think that the CCP, with their citizen scoring and everything that they do to control their population and track them, that they're just allowing anyone, yeah. any Joe Schmo, to leave mainland China? And by the way, who's financing it? It's not cheap, by the way. What in the hell is going on in the minds of the administration? No. Because it's, and Christopher Wray said it, it's not a matter of if, but when we have a massive
yes.
terrorist in this country.
Yeah. And I know, I mean, you obviously are at the forefront of big national security issues. And I'm sitting there thinking, I've said this before on the show, 9/11, we said never forget. And now we're like, what was that thing we were supposed to forget? Yeah. I want to touch on a discussion that came last night during the exit polling. This wing nuts on MSNBC, Jen Psaki, Joy Reid, Rachel Maddow, and one other wing nut, I can't remember. We're having this discussion because the number one issue coming out of Virginia was immigration. This is how Jen Psaki responded.
I mean, if you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yes. Of course, I mean, again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested
but you're
area.
Build a wall. Like, what?
You hear them all laughing. This is to them a joke. In Virginia, a illegal from Venezuela was arrested last weekend for raping a 14-year-old girl. A 14-year-old girl in Virginia. So they may not think Virginia's a border state, but the idea that they laugh just shows you how out of touch the left is, that they think it's funny.
Yeah, I mean, tell me you are an elitist liberal without telling me you're an elitist liberal. I mean, the fact that they have the gall to laugh about a situation that has turned thousands of families around the country into angel families. They've had loved ones murdered at the hands of people who never should have been here in this country in the first place. I mean, that just speaks volumes. These aren't people who have any consideration whatsoever for what everyday Americans go through. And I'll tell you, in my district, we're seeing the impacts of the open border. We have bricks of fentanyl that have stamps of border cartels being found that are then finding their way in every little nook and cranny of our community. People are being poisoned by fentanyl. There's no repercussions for that. The human trafficking element, let us not forget that this administration, the Biden administration, lost 85,000 children. They cannot account for 85,000 children that were turned over to HHS. And now we have, thank God, some reporters with some integrity left in their body. They're going out trying to do the investigations, finding that these children are in trafficking situations, both labor and sex trafficking. And where's the outrage? They don't give a damn.
Not only the outrage, they laugh. It's the opposite. Right. It's no one thing not to cover it, to omit it. They think it's funny. Yeah. And I mean, at least I also just can't believe that there's no industry backlash. Like if you know that like people get fired by saying crazy stuff, right? The New York Times has fired opinion writers, MSNBC or NBC has fired, but yet all three of these hosts, are not a peep from the MS. But I know our time is somewhat limited, so I you mentioned these Chinese nationals that are coming in, and it's a great segue to another issue that I thought was dead. And I'm so glad to hear you and your colleagues are reviving this, this idea of banning TikTok and how there might be an actual way to do this. What's the status of this?
So we just had a big press conference about this piece of legislation. And I have to make a small correction to you. We're not banning TikTok.
Okay.
What it is, it's a very narrowly tailored piece of legislation that incentivizes divestiture. That's really important because if you are a app, and I don't care if it's Temu, I don't care if it's TikTok, whatever, if you are an app that is owned by a foreign adversary like the CCP, which they are officially an adversary nation, and they have golden shares, which means they control the data through their golden shares of these companies, then you have to divest. I mean, it's very simple. We're not banning it. We're just saying you can no longer use content creators as foot soldiers for your BS influence peddling game. I mean, it is so clear how TikTok is suppressing constitutional rights of everyday Americans by stealing their personal data, their metadata, their geolocations, their contacts. They're completely embedded in your phone, whether your phone is on or off, whether you're using the app or not. Once you have that on your phone, you're basically being tracked by them. The internal communications that they have on even just journalists, where they have used the geolocation data and contacts through the app to target, intimidate, and harass journalists who go and write stories about TikTok. This has been well documented. And so this is really an interesting and creative approach to really address the national security threat, of course, but more importantly, protecting the constitutional rights of everyday Americans. When you think about the fact that TikTok is now coming out saying, we're here to protect First Amendment rights of Americans, give me a break. Are you serious? The CCP, who bans American apps, who is engaged in an active genocide, this is absurd that people think that the CCP actually gives a damn about your constitutional rights. They are literally using the data to basically build a language model that will then be used in AI to influence and manipulate policy outcomes in America. That's really what this is about. So,
yeah, and we already know how bad AI is right now.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I have one more thing I want to touch on before I go, but let me just ask you to put a pin in this. It seems, from my viewpoint, but I need yours, is this actually a bipartisan effort, and what is the likelihood of it moving forward and actually getting enacted?
I think that it's very bipartisan. Equal numbers of Republicans and Democrats, bicameral, bipartisan. The White House actually has signaled that they are on board, and this is going to move exceptionally fast. So I have great confidence that this will get done, and it'll force the divestiture of TikTok by the 6-month mark once the bill is signed.
All right. Last thing I want to touch on. You in Florida, obviously you guys have a lot of our nation's veterans that live down there. It's great benefits. You don't tax the veterans benefits. It's great weather. There's a lot of fun things to do. So I'm sure there's a lot of World War II guys down there. Yesterday, the Department of Veteran Affairs issued a memo, put it out, signed by the Assistant Secretary for Health, that says they are banning that infamous VJ Day poster where the sailor is kissing the nurse. According to the memo, it's using the DOJ, the Department of Justice's standards, this is now being redefined as a sexual assault. So they issue this, they tell all the VA facilities, you must take it down. Rightly so, everyone in the, you know, is like, are you nuts? This is this iconic picture of us celebrating after this, you know, war against Japan and, you know, honoring the sacrifice of so many. And then the secretary of VA, Dennis McDonough, tweets out, no, 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 this is not happening. And it's like, okay, well, here's a memo signed by this person. I've worked in the executive branch, two different departments. Memos like that just don't happen out of nowhere. Like they get staffed. And I just, my issue isn't, obviously it's stopped, but it's like, this is the mentality.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised anymore. It's hard to, honestly, I feel like there's so many examples of this woke bull crap that we are just riddled with. Just, again, I feel like we're living through 1984. And the fact that, to your point, that this was a memo from an undersecretary or an assistant secretary that went out, it's not like this was just a unilateral decision. This went through multiple layers. And of course, thank God, the backlash was swift and severe, because I almost feel like they're always just doing a pen test, right? Like the to see how far they can push it without getting slapped down. I really feel that that is what this woke movement and the ultra liberal left is doing, of how far can we just gently push things until we get pushback. I think that's how we've gotten to this point, is we have not really pushed back on the ridiculousness we allow. It's the whole concept of you give them an inch, they take a mile. Right. They continue to push it just as far as they can. And thankfully this got picked up and blown up. And I'm glad that it's now being rescinded, but this is just one example out of, I can't.
Well,
tell
and I think your point is well taken. They figure out how far they can go to the edge. Yeah. They get a little pushback. They take a step back and then they go, okay, that's as far as we can go this time. And then they push, they know how to keep. So all these stupid things that we hear about pronouns and feelings and I feel emotionally, I mean, whatever, they test it and we laugh at it. And then 2 years later, we're all sitting here going, when did we miss the bus that this thing was happening? And I feel like this may not have gotten banned this time because Dennis McDonough said, no, I don't need to be dealing with this. But yep. Trust me, they're gonna get their way if we don't continue to push back and get leaders back in the key positions. Congresswoman, I know you got a busy day. You've got a lot of policy issues and legislation to deal with, obviously, and then State of the Union. So thank you for joining us, but also thank you for being a leader on all these key issues, because this TikTok thing, again, I misstated it, but the leadership that you and others have shown is critical. It's not about, you know, it's about protecting our national security more than anything else, protecting the next generation of Americans. And if people like you aren't willing to stand up and fight back, it just happens. So I really commend you for the leadership that you've shown in so many of these issues, because a lot of folks back down and say, okay, well, next Congress or whatever. And I had thought it was dead, but I'm so glad to see your efforts paying off.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And I think we will be successful and keep being out there as a truth teller. We need so many more voices out there pushing back against this crazy narrative. So thanks for all you do.
All right. Thanks for joining us. All right. I know I brought this up with her and I'm so glad to hear her response. This idea that the Biden administration flew 320 illegal immigrants into this country. You can't make excuses anymore. As I said before, I mean, you can say maybe the ignorance or whatever was part of this for not addressing the southern border, but how do you explain 320,000 people being flown into the country secretly? They didn't want us to know about this. This is the plan. This is what's at stake. You heard Congresswoman Kamik talk about the voters that they're bringing in. They're going to all grant them asylum. Once they have asylum, 5 years, they have the right to vote. That's what's happening. They are going to try to take over the House of Representatives. If they do that, they will make DC a state. Why does that matter? Two United States senators that will be Democrat, no question about it, will never take the Senate back. Not in my lifetime, anyway. They will pack the Supreme Court. They will do this. The only thing that's preventing it right now is two seats in the House of Representatives. They have the Senate. Two seats. Electing Donald Trump is what we need to do, and we need to make sure that he has a Senate and a House. So let's talk about what else happened last night, because I think some of this is important. In California, Adam Schiff became the Democrats' big nominee. Now, California has what they call a jungle primary. That means everybody runs in one big primary, all the parties, and the top two vote getters, regardless of party, go on. So you had basically three big Democrats, Adam Schiff, Katie Porter, another big leftist, crazy progressive, and then Barbara Lee. They were all the Democrats, members of Congress running. And then you had Steve Garvey. He's a former first baseman for the Dodgers and San Diego Padres. High name ID, very well liked, running as a Republican. Adam Schiff spent millions of dollars promoting Steve Garvey. Why? Because he knew that if he went into the general election with Garvey as the number two, it's California, folks. You're not going to win statewide. Not going to happen. So everybody cheered the fact that Steve Garvey won last night. It's a short-term win. It ensures that Adam Schiff can actually coast to victory. He can now continue to raise money and spend it elsewhere to help his Democratic colleagues out. If Katie Porter had come in second, that leftist nut job progressive, they would have been fighting it out. He couldn't have left California. He would have raised more money, spend it on her. She would have been spending on him. It would have been a bloodbath. And we still would have ended up with the same situation, a Democrat there, and probably still with Schiff. But we bought into this idea that somehow winning was good. It's the first time in my life that I'm probably going to argue that a Republican winning a race isn't good. Because in the short term, it helped. There's a reason Schiff spent millions of dollars supporting Steve Garvey. It wasn't because he likes him. It's because he knew that that would ensure his victory. So understand that what happened last night was not a good thing. There was also a couple interesting things up in San Francisco, not getting a lot of attention. They undid a lot of the decriminalization stuff that they'd done before. Crazy, huh? The DC City Council last night, not in a district-wide vote, but in their own little council vote, strengthened some of the criminal laws that they had previously undone. These cities are starting to realize that their policies are horrible. They're hurting people. They're getting people hurt and killed and destroying them. The left is finally coming back. And it's funny because all these people in San Francisco suddenly who wanted everything decriminalized are seeing the light. In Arizona, we saw Kyrsten Sinema, I think is the right way to say it, said that she wasn't going to seek re-election. Her own party, think about this. She has been the reason that the filibuster, her and Joe Manchin, hasn't gone away. And her party crushed her for it. They treated her horribly. And so yesterday, she announced that she wouldn't run for re-election. Okay. Now this makes that race between Ruben Gallego, the Democrat, and Kari Lake. I'll be honest with you. It was going to be a lot easier for Kari Lake if Kyrsten Sinema stayed in. She still, at heart, was a Democrat that would have siphoned off enough votes. But this is going to be a dogfight now. Kari Lake is going to need our help. And the Senate is crucial to Donald Trump getting his nominees through. As I told you, it's not just his nominees through. They'll full stop. No judges, no nominees, no nothing. In the House, not only will not the policies get through, but they'll impeach him, impeach him, impeach him. Getting those two houses of Congress on the Republican side is critical. And last night, this got handled. Let me touch on one quick thing on the Joe Biden thing. Jason Palmer from Maryland, Congresswoman Kamik brought this up, defeated Joe Biden in American Samoa. He gets four delegates to Biden's two. Pretty embarrassing. But also what happened last night is that uncommitted vote, we talked about it earlier when it came to a previous race that he'd run. In Minnesota, which is a competitive state, 19% of people voted for uncommitted, 46,000 people. And in North Carolina, which the Biden campaign admits is a swing state, they're going to need no preference received 13%. So you want to talk about problems. The media wants to talk about problems with Trump. Biden's got them. By the way, real quick, I'm going to tell you this tonight. I believe based on all the tells, Tim Scott will be the nominee. I just wanted it on the tape. We'll talk about that later. Tomorrow, by the way, we've got a great show headed your way. Tomorrow night, Thursday, is going to be that State of the Union address. As I mentioned, we go live here subscribe, hit the notification button so you can watch it all, hear the analysis. And then Friday, Roger Stone is going to join us. Continue to subscribe to all the platforms you can. I appreciate all the thousands of people that joined us last night. Hit that VIP community at seanspicer.com/VIP. Text me if you have a question, 571-441-4991. We'll see you back here tomorrow.